Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Monday, September 23rd. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, Appalachie High School students return to class 3 weeks after the shooting that claimed four lives. A black voting rights group leads registration drives at three Georgia HBCUs. And some of Georgia's coastal communities get grants to help build more housing. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. Students in Northeast Georgia's Winder returned to Appalachie High School this morning, nearly 3 weeks after a gunman killed two students and two teachers there. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
Rows of buses pulled into the school parking lot on Monday, some of them painted with messages saying "Chi Strong," a slogan repeated on billboards and posters around the county. Students weren't expected to open books. Instead, they had to refamiliarize themselves with the changed campus. Jay Hall, the scene of this month's shooting, is now completely blocked off. The classes that met there will now meet in a county-owned building 4 miles away. Barrow County Sheriff Judd Smith says the community has shown strength and resiliency.
The love that we give our kids and the love that we give our parents and our staff and teachers, it will always prevail over what happened.
Students will get back to their classes on Tuesday. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
With just over a month before Election Day, presidential candidates continue to court Georgia voters. GPB's Sarah Callis has the latest.
Vice President Kamala Harris pitched her stance on abortion to a crowd in Cobb County Friday. The speech came days after a ProPublica story found a woman in Georgia died after delayed abortion care. Harris stood in front of signs that said, "Trust Women," and slammed Trump's stances on abortion.
We're saying that we're going to create public policy that says that a doctor, a healthcare provider, will only kick in to give the care that somebody needs if they're about to die.
Former President Trump is also reaching out to Georgia voters. He will hold a rally in Savannah on Tuesday. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
A nonpartisan black voting rights group held registration drives at three historically black colleges and universities in South Georgia last week. GPB's Benjamin Payne reports.
Black Voters Matter took its bus tour to Albany State, Fort Valley State, and Georgia's oldest public HBCU, Savannah State. That's where junior and Vidalia native Maya Bird registered to vote for what will be her first presidential election.
As I've gotten older, I've started realizing, like, okay, the presidential election involves our future, our lives, especially as college students, our funding in college.
Melanie Calhoun is an organizer with Black Voters Matter.
When you're on campus, a lot of times students feel like, well, I'm only here for school. But for those 4 years, you're living in that community. There may be things in your community that you want to see changed, and your vote can make the difference.
Georgia's voter registration deadline for the presidential election is October 7th. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne at Savannah State University.
Georgia's HBCUs are flexing their political and economic muscle. A new report shows they have $1.6 billion in economic impact in the state. The United Negro College Fund this month detailed the jobs, student lifetime earnings, and other financial windfalls that they create. The fund's CEO, Michael Lomax, called HBCUs resilient institutions, coming back, quote, stronger than ever following the pandemic.
These institutions do more to impact local economies than are really given, they're given credit for. Most of their students come from a geographic area near where the institution is located. And when they graduate, guess where they go? Back into the community that they came from.
The report included Georgia's 9 HBCUs, among others, nationwide. Coastal Georgia is the beneficiary of a fifth round of grants through Governor Brian Kemp's Rural Workforce Housing Initiative. Brunswick and Chatham County will receive just under $5 million for infrastructure supporting 129 housing units. The governor launched the program early last year during his annual State of the State address to the General Assembly. The grants are overseen by the One Georgia Authority. The city of Brunswick will get $2.5 million to build water, sewer, road, and drainage improvements, which will enable dozens of homes to be built. And Chatham County's grant of $2.3 million will go towards infrastructure projects for both single and multifamily homes. The Georgia Department of Public Health expects a 46% increase over the next decade in the number of Georgians diagnosed with dementia. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
Cognitive decline creates challenges for workers and employers. Nancy Treister is from Duluth and hosts The Caregiver's Journey, a podcast for dementia caregivers. She transitioned to part-time work a decade ago when her husband developed dementia. She then fully retired when her father-in-law's Alzheimer's disease progressed.
And I was 62 at the time anyway, so, you know, work, it's fine. It's time to give up work. And that's really what I felt like I was doing, giving up work, because I was old enough to retire, but at the same time, I left my job. I'd worked there 26 years. But at the same time, it was time to give it up.
The Georgia chapter of the Alzheimer's Association recommends training employers on the warning signs of dementia and the laws governing Americans with Disabilities Act. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Georgia's average gas price fell below $3 per gallon for the first time since January last week and continued to decline this week. Fueled by weak demand and lower crude prices, Auto Club AAA said today the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded in Georgia is now $2.94, down from $2.98 last week. The Atlanta Opera plans to build a $45 million performing arts center on the city's popular bike and pedestrian trail, the Atlanta Beltline. The Opera said today the center will transform an existing clubhouse overlooking the historic Bobby Jones Golf Course in northwest Atlanta. Construction on the project is expected to be complete by 2027. In sports, the Atlanta Falcons had plenty of opportunities to beat Kansas City, but miscues and trouble converting on third down helped the Chiefs hold on for a narrow 22-17 victory yesterday. Atlanta lost starting center Drew Dalman to an ankle injury, and starting right tackle Caleb McGarry was sidelined with a knee injury. In baseball, Michael Harris II tripled, singled, and scored as the Atlanta Braves beat the Miami Marlins 5-4 yesterday. The Braves are now two games behind the New York Mets for the third NL wild card, which makes the two-game series against the Mets this week important if the Braves want to play some October baseball. The Braves are off today, but expect to start Spencer Schwellenbach tomorrow against the Mets and Chris Sale on Wednesday. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you being there and listening to Georgia Today. Because you value the service, we hope that you'll support it with a gift in any amount, because everything you hear from GPB, whether it's on the air or in a podcast, is made possible by people just like you. Give at gpb.org or call 800-222-4788. If you want to learn more about any of the stories you heard on this podcast, visit gpb.org/news. We've also got new headlines there all the time, so check it out. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, do it now. That'll keep us current in your podcast feed. If you have feedback for us, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.